When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Who knows more about Munster rugby, me or you, Quinny?
Everyone has an opinion, don't they? Some of the opinions are waffle, but I'd like to think I know a lot.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the rugby channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
We're going to talk about the Ireland squad in a moment, but I did want to get your thoughts on Connacht in particular, because it was... You hope it's a breakthrough win for them against Ulster. It felt like they were robbed a bit of the breakthrough win against Munster. And look, maybe they shouldn't have been in a position where the refereeing decision goes against them and that costs them the game. That's sport. That's going to happen. But they did back it up with a big performance in a high-pressure situation, which speaks very highly of what's going on there. What's your impression so far of where they are at the moment?
Well, we're against Munster, actually. They didn't play at... to the standards that they showed at the weekend, and no, Munster were worse, and yet Munster managed to get the win, and I think we're very fortuitous in getting that win. But it's hard to see at times, because they have a smaller squad, or not as deep, with as much as many experienced players, and yet when you see a performance like they had at the weekend, now I still think Ulster were pretty poor, and I thought they were made to look poor as well at the same time. But Connacht played with an incredible level of aggression, like really, really on the edge, but with a very good discipline. And I thought they played really well. I thought the pressure they put on all the time, I thought their handling, like, it's a joy actually to watch Connacht forwards run onto the ball, look to offload. If you were looking for a difference between a lot of the teams that played at the weekend, you would see forwards with the ball in two hands. Now, it isn't in two hands all the time, and especially when supporters watch it, they'd say, well, you know, the one-handed pass is brilliant, and the little offload, but it's two hands going into contact and getting yourself in a position where you're under full level of control to give that offload with one hand is what happens. And I don't know, I look every time I watch Connacht play, I think they just play with a fantastic energy. So I think they've made a decent step forward. I think an awful lot comes down to injury and to how often those players can play at that level of intensity. It does seem as if they're able to get up for the interprovincial matches, because they know that that is the big shop window for them. But I thought they were fantastic, and I thought they did an absolute number on Ulster's backs as much as anything else, because Ulster kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and shoveled the ball and didn't show any incisive intent during the game, and an awful lot of that was down to the pressure that they were under.
It's interesting about how the Interpros should be the shop window, and yet there's debate around the Ireland squad and it not actually recognising the form of some players. I think the comparison by Gordon Darcy today is of an Eddie O'Sullivan-esque squad. I don't know, I don't want to misquote him here, Owen.
I could get the exact, I'll get a few in a moment, but the exact quote, but it does, Keith, he says it does have the look of an Eddie O'Sullivan squad where getting a result in the November tests is clearly the most important thing rather than the idea of actually progressing. Here's the quote. If Gatland championed youth and potential, O'Sullivan's priority is winning games and personnel reflected that approach. Andy Farrell's squad feels a bit like that, familiar at first glance and then a little underwhelming. Did you get the same impression?
I think that's a bit harsh on Eddie, because that may have been true of Eddie at the end of his term, but not at the start. He was very willing to give youth the chance at the start. And I think when he took over in 2001, 2002, that was the start actually of Gordon Darcy coming back into the squad, because he'd been out of it for a long time. He hadn't been picked. And there is an element of getting players through the door. There's also an element of, like, we had this conversation last week, I think, about picking players on form. Teams aren't picked on form of what's happened in the previous 2 or 3 weeks. It's also against who they're playing. It's also for what other players have done in time. It's also about giving youth a chance at different stages. It's no point giving 15 of them a chance, because that can, you can ruin a lot of players very quickly. I think as a team, Connacht play incredibly well, and it's whether the individual players are holding up to a higher standard than some of the players that have been played. And yet, with the level of aggression that was shown by Daly in the centre, Sammy Arnold has done incredibly well since moving from Munster. It's hard to say how many should be picked, actually. Though we were talking last week about Carty playing the week before, and against Munster, people have said, well, he was obviously the international player on the field. I didn't think either of them played at an international standard. That was my read on it. Whereas Carty was in control almost entirely of the game and totally outplayed Burns at 10. So I do think he's very unlucky not to be in the squad.
Is there, because this is the debate, right? And I see both sides of this. I definitely see, if you're Andy Farrell, you've got a confidence in the team at the moment that has come from the winning run that you're on. But he has got some new players through over the summer who are still in the squad. The list of players, Balakoon, Byrne, Coombs, James Hume, Tom O'Toole and Nick Timoney are all back in the squad after being in the summertime and getting their first cap. So that the whole notion that we're not really bringing through new players isn't quite true. I also see the benefit of picking a little bit on form to give everybody a bit of a jolt, and that's the one bit that I'm not quite sure of with Carty. It's like, if you're playing that well at the moment, if you stick him in the squad, even just put him on the bench for the Argentina game or put him on the bench for the Japan game, like, that's a sign to everybody that you can get back in the squad, that the door's not shut to you. Now, there was a 50-man squad in September. Carty wasn't in that. That was probably an indication that he wasn't in the coach's thoughts. If you can't make the 50-man squad, you're unlikely to make the 36-man squad. Where do you stand on that whole kind of keeping the open door to make sure everybody is always on their toes versus the confidence of knowing two bad performances, that's not the end of your international career?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the big conundrums that is in Irish rugby at the moment, in that your incumbent is 36 years of age and you're looking for the next guys to be in, and they should be sort of 26, 27, 28. And they tend to be younger than that still. So that makes it kind of hard. And we've been unfortunate, I think, with Carberry having picked up as many injuries. They've tried Ross Byrne in that period of time. Ross Byrne is an incredibly safe pair of hands. And I think Ireland could pick him at any stage and know that he would do a job in the manner in which he plays, but not in the manner in which I think Ireland would like to progress. The ceiling for Harry Byrne seems to be high, but we haven't seen a huge amount from it. The ceiling for Joey Carberry is very high, but he's been injured and has been off the mark. So I'm hoping that bringing him back into Irish camp frees them up an awful lot. And that is, we are seeing Connacht play at a fast pace with a 10 running onto the ball. And so we are seeing Jack Carty play very well. Now, when he sits deep and kicks well, he kicked really well the other day. I think it's really tough for him over any other player that we're talking about. It's very tough that he isn't in there. But that's, the coaches always make a decision on it. I think in relation to every other player that they talk about, people who argue tend to argue on provincial grounds, not on anything else. There's a huge amount of people get so coloured in their own players that that's what they want to see and play on the field. And that's, it's understandable as well, you know. But for me, I think Carty is, like, that he wasn't in the 50 just means he's out of thoughts. But if he continues to play like this, he has to become into the thoughts.
Is there a consequence of that for people on the outside? So Jack O'Donoghue, who's not in the squad, in fairness to Darcy, he mentions him today. I guess what I'm asking is, do people lose heart if you're not in the squad, that you can't get into the squad even when you're playing at the best level of your career? And does that have a knock-on impact for people being a little bit complacent who are in the squad?
I don't think it puts any level of complacency. I think the level of pressure to play is very high, always. Okay. That would be my read on it. I said the same about Jack O'Donoghue last week. I thought he played, he's been playing really well. He was poor at the weekend and he made a lot of errors. And whether that's down from, you know, dropping in confidence because he didn't get pushed into the squad or whatever, how do you know about things like that? But that, you see, you're going to have bad games and off games. That's why you don't just pick on forms. If somebody plays badly, you don't. I thought Peter Mahoney played better at the weekend, but, you know, it's, selection comes down to the views of not just one man, because they'll say there's a few people who pick it, but it's one guy who's in charge of the whole lot who wants to play in a particular fashion. That's what he's employed to do. That's what the expectation is. And the IRFU expect him to win matches. Now, I think when we're looking at this, and from a lifetime of underachievement at World Cups, and I played in three of them and we didn't get past a quarterfinal, I'd like to see us further up that table. I think we need to be getting to semifinals. We need to get to a final. And at times, circumstances or injuries or whatever else has never given us that route for the last period of time. I thought we peaked in 2018, and I thought we tried to keep a style of play that had worked, and tried to keep it all the way to the end of a World Cup, and everybody found us out at that stage and we got dismantled. And that's what happened in the last one. I hope that there's enough of change in the next 6 or 9 months so that the players that we bring to the World Cup are very fresh when they get there and are good enough and have enough experience when they do get there. And for that, we need to be bringing extra players in and through. And you mentioned 4 or 5 that have come in from the summer. You'd like to still see those go. You need to try and get the right balance once you get to a World Cup. And for me, in the last World Cup, I think we had too many players over 30. So, but you're looking for other players to play well. And, you know, it's, I don't know that there's people putting their hand up saying, yeah, I need to have the number 10 jersey, as an example. I think there's a lot of players in the back row who could play for Ireland and to do a really good job. But at 10, we seem to have Johnny Sexton, who is still playing incredibly well. But the game is changing a lot from what it was, and it needs to be closer to the gain line. That's what seems to happen with every team, with the exception of South Africa.
At what point did you and your team start talking about the World Cup during the 3 World Cups that you went to? Is 2 years out about the right time? Because it seems that this Ireland camp is starting to mention the importance of the World Cup when it comes to these squad selections.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Yeah, I don't know that we did necessarily at that stage. I think about a year out, you'd be talking about it more. I mean, there is a cycle, but all these big tournaments are huge in their own right. And look, we've said this a few times, but The IRFU is funded by what it does in the internationals. That is the basis of all the money that comes into the game. In some of the other countries, it comes in from private entities or people, like in France or in England. But in Ireland, it comes 80-odd% of it comes through the international window. That's where all the money for the game goes. That is the quandary that the IRFU is permanently in. Can it give you the chance, or like it still has to fund itself and be in a really strong position? And that's the balancing act that is always there and is always up for discussion. Fans rarely like to see it in that fashion, but still the thing has to be funded. And the IRFU has always been well funded. Now it's taken a huge hit by COVID, and I think that makes this almost more important for them to do well. But it's how can you manage and balance that together for us to get the most out of the team and still get the wins. And I think that's something that becomes important.
Okay. Keith, it's that time of the year where we ask everybody for what the depth chart is. Is it fairly obvious who our number one hooker is now, given that there was lines in and out for Ronan Kelleher and he's playing really well, that actually what we should do now is decide you're our number one guy, and no matter what, even if you cough up a few throws, we're going to have to persist with this because we know you're our best player? Or do you have to make him win the jersey to the point where you keep him on his toes? How does that work?
Well, I think you need to make everybody win their jersey. I think Kelleher has shown, has been pretty, he's burst onto the scene. He has done very, very well. He's had a few bad throws. That's part of it. And you have to learn your way through it. And you're coming up against oppositions that you'd never have come up before who defend very differently. You need to build on a variety of throws that you have. I think at times he throws incredibly hard and flat, and sometimes an arc would be better. And that's something that you learn over time, that you need to throw differently. I think Sheehan as well is an absolute diamond that we have in the team. He's a big, huge kind of agricultural sort of player. You know, he's 6'2.5 or 6'3. He's heavy. He's a good ball carrier. I think the two of those are the guys that will be carrying the torch for the next period of time. So in the meantime, I think you can have Herring on the bench. He throws incredibly well. He's a very safe pair of hands. But our future are in the two Leinster hookers.
It's funny that they put Sheehan straight into the Ireland squad as well at this stage. It's like, okay, we know what the future is here. We're deciding that, and you've got Herring. So you've got a nice mix of an incumbent experience and somebody who we don't know what the ceiling could be. So in order, is it Kelleher, Herring, Sheehan? Is that how that works for you as the depth chart?
I think it is, but I don't think it'll stay that way for very long. I think Sheehan will start pushing for the number one slot, not wow. just the number two slot. I think the two of those, I thought Kelleher was really exciting to see him come on the scene, but then to have somebody else come on immediately after him is fantastic. And I just think that they look like the standout players, but they also look like they have the size, the ball handling, everything else that goes with it. It's the technicalities under pressure are where they're shown up. It's actually where Herring has done very well. He's not a particularly big guy. He is not the most effective around the field, but he's technically very good. And if I was the two younger hookers, I would be learning a huge amount from Herring over every single camp that they go together, and trying to mop up everything that they can. And I'm sure Herring would be up for that, even though it might go against him, but that's the nature of a team, and that's what's required, actually. But I think those guys are where the game is going. So I think Sheehan in particular, he's just rough. Yes, you know what I mean. But there is huge potential for him.
It's coming for sure. So we have the miracle of Cian Healy's slide over from one side to the other at the front of the scrum. I don't think I've spoken to you about this just yet, but
no.
This is remarkable, right? This is like a truly remarkable achievement for. We probably are kind of unaware of the the difficulties of going from loose head to tight head, but at this stage of his career to be able to pull this off, maybe you don't think it's remarkable, but certainly it seems from the outside to be one of those things where we're like, ah, sure, look, what's the big deal? But actually, it's a massive difference.
It's a huge difference, actually. And I remember a long time ago, Peter Clawhussy went from, on the opposite side, he went from tight head to loose head. And in the match, he came on off a bench. He had his feet in the tight head position, so the ball couldn't be put into the scrum. And when I was giving out to him, as you can imagine, with bad language on a 5 metre scrum against Australia, he said, but this is where I always have my legs. But he hadn't always played loose head. So it isn't as it isn't even as simple as where your legs are. It's at loose head, there's a lot of move. There's a huge amount of movement, and you are having to stop a tight head going in. But your left shoulder is always free, so there's maneuverability. When you move across into tight head, you have little to none. I mean, you're locked into the scrum. It's quite frightening. And I played there once in a European Cup game, and it's not something I'd ever like to have back, I can tell you. But it's an incredible thing to be able to do. But it also shows the depth of skill that he has, but the depth of power he has, because you have to lock the scrum. So you have to be able to scrummage low, as in with your hips low. You have to have that flexibility to do it. I think it is an extraordinary ask, actually.
And look, I don't know. It doesn't have a designation beside him in the squad announcement. Tom O'Toole is in the squad as well. So they're obviously giving themselves options. Healy becomes incredibly valuable as a squad member and as a member of the playing staff then, because he can do these two jobs, and certainly from his perspective it's going to extend his career. What's your depth chart when it comes to the front row at the moment in the two prop positions? Who's Tadhg Furlong's a nailed on starter. Who would you have immediately behind him, and is Andrew Porter automatically your starting loose head at the moment?
I don't know if Andrew Porter is the starting loose head. For me, that's an uncomfortable one at the moment, because tight head is and has consistently been the hardest position to tie down. And we ended up with two tight heads that gave a huge sense of comfort for me when we're under pressure, that you can put on another tight head that is fantastic. And I know everybody wants to get the best players on the field at once. But actually, in the front row in particular, I'm not that certain about that. I do think that you need to have... If you can replace like with like, you put yourself into a very strong position. So I'm uncertain on the subs and the tight head side. I genuinely felt comfortable at when Porter was at tight head, but I do understand that maybe it's mitigating for a fact of when Keane Healy hangs up the boots, that's the reason to move him across. But yeah, I'm uncertain, actually. I really am.
So if you were picking the Ireland team at the moment, who would your starting loose head be? Because Kilcoyne's in the squad and Healy's in the squad, but well, you know, he hasn't played club rugby there this year. Porter's in the squad.
I'd go for Kilcoyne. I still think we need to get an awful lot more out of him. And I think if he had a run of game starting, I think we could get an awful lot more out of him.
It's funny, he's got 45 caps. Furlong has 49 caps. So he's been around, but too many of them have been bench caps or... not at the key points where he's had a bit of fitness behind him.
Yeah, I think they've been short caps for a lot of them, you know, and that happens sometimes. And sometimes you just need to be given the starting nod and to see how you can progress in that. He's incredibly dynamic, and whether his impact is best to come off the bench or it's to be there at the start, I think I'd like to see him start now for a while and see what would happen, see what we can get out of him, because to have that sense of power that he can display, if he can make certain that there's that level of control in the scrum at the same time, I think that's something Ireland need to see.